Good morning. Blessing to be again with the brethren here. That's part of my title this morning. You don't need to serve God. For a scripture, I'd like to invite you all to 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like to start reading in verse 7. First John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray. Father eternal, again this morning we pause here. We bow our hearts before you, asking for your blessing this morning upon your word. Lord, not that your word needs anything more, but our hearts need your word. And Lord, our hearts need to understand what your word is trying to tell us. And I just pray, open our hearts and open our lives. May we allow your word to penetrate into our lives so that your word can take root and grow in our lives. Lord, again, we thank you for all you have blessed us with and your great love towards us. Lord, we feel so unworthy of that great love. Again, we thank you and we praise you in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if your mom was like mine was, but my mom taught me at a very early age that I don't need to do chores if I want to. Now, the first time she told me that, it was because I didn't want to do my chores. And she just told me very clearly, said, you don't have to do your chores if you don't want to. I mean, if you want to. Well, so immediately I wanted to. So she said, well, if you want to, then go ahead and do it. We don't need to serve God if you love him. And that's the last part of that title. Not a one of us has to love God. We don't have to. The reality is we get to love God. We have the privilege to love God. We don't have to. And I trust that not a one of us is here because we have to be here. And if you have to be here, you know, I say, there's a door. You don't have to be here. You know, when I was a little boy, I was slow. I still am. And my brothers, one just older and the one just younger than me, they were both fast. They could get work done. They were intelligent. They were strong. And I was slow. They could work circles around me. In school, it's not that I had bad grades, but even there I was slow. I wasn't even good enough to play soccer with the boys. There was one time my teacher got so frustrated with me out on the soccer field, they sent me in to play jacks with the girls. You know, that was me. That was who I was. And I worked hard to be a good boy, if you want to say it that way. And I studied hard to get good grades. But even so, I still wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. And this is, and any of the stuff that I'm going to say today is not a reflection on either my upbringing or my parents or anything like that. Both my parents and myself are at a total different place in life and in our walk with God than obviously back then. But my dad taught me by example the meaning of duty and sacrifice, hard work. And I was often told what not to do or how to do things. But rarely was I told, son, you did a good job. It was not necessarily how it was done. And I grew up being very sensitive and being good. One of the things I figured out early on in life, and I've told some of my children sometimes, I said, one of the things I figured out early on in life was that spankings hurt and I didn't want any. And so I was good. I tried to be good. When God called me, I answered. Not that I served him perfectly from then on. Definitely not. But I expected of myself nothing less than perfection. And I worked hard for it. And if I failed, I kicked myself. I dotted my I's, I crossed my T's. I did good, slow, methodical work as perfectly as possible. I was a perfectionist. Anything within my purview was done right, as long as I could possibly make it that way, it was perfect. Years later, I realized I was serving God out of pain, for acceptance, and not because of love. I was a perfectionist, wanting someone to tell me, you did a good job. I was looking for acceptance. I was looking for love. But I didn't really understand it. First John tells us, we go back to verse 7 there. It said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God is the essence of love. See, because God is love. God doesn't just have love. God is love. Love is God. It's a part of his nature. And as we love one, he says we should love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's so evident. It is so evident when we have the love of God. There's a reason why we have the love of God. It's because we're born of Him. And if we do not have the love of God, then it's fairly obvious that we are not born of Him as well. In verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, if you know God, K-N-O-W, you will know love as well. And if you have no love, N-O, love, you'll also not have God. It's that simple. That's verse 8, just very, very clearly. We either have love or we don't have it. We either have God or we don't have it. Now, I'm not here to put anyone into any position where they start doubting who they are and what they are in Christ. Not all of us are in the same place in our walk with God. But as we know God, it's going to be evident because we will have God's love in us. Because God is love. In verse 9 and 10, it talks to us and tells us that He loved us so much. And because He loved us, He sent His Son to be a ransom for us. Then in verse 11 and 12, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. That's how it is. God's love is perfected in us. And I hope that all of us are here with that desire, that the love of God would continue to become more perfect in us. God is love. God is the perfection of love. We need to become what He is. And we need to grow into that love. Then in verse 13 through 16, it tells us that we can know that we are His. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, a lot of times we make stuff so complicated. It's not complicated. We love God, we serve him, he dwells in us, we dwell in him. Sure. Sometimes we fail, of course. But our desire is after his love. Our desire is after who he is. And that's where we are, looking and longing to become more like him. To have this kind of relationship with him. To have this loving relationship with Jesus Christ. All of you who are married or are courting, you know how that feels, right? Start off in a courtship and there's just something that you want to be there with the other person. There's something there that just draws you. And you're constantly thinking about the other person. And you're constantly longing for the other person. And that shouldn't change, by the way, after we're married. It should just get deeper. But that is a little taste of what our relationship should be with God. God is love, and we should love Him in that deep and satisfying way. Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world." And how do we understand who God is? By loving Him and understanding His love and letting His love come into us and transforming us and changing us. Meeting God is not scary because God is love. How many of you were scared of meeting your girlfriend or your boyfriend? I mean, after that relationship was there, it was like, no way am I scared of that person. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is no reason to fear. There is no reason in love to fear. Because we love God. And I'll just say here, you know, hell is a very poor reason to serve God. Hell should not be the motivator for us to serve God. And I know there are some people who preach fire and brimstone. And I'm not saying that that is wrong. But hell should not be our motivation for serving God. Heaven should also not be why we serve God. Shouldn't be. Our motivation for serving God should be because we love Him. We recognize who He is. We recognize His love for us. And we say, Lord, here we are. And so we serve Him because we love Him. Not because we want the things He has, or we don't want the things, or we don't want we don't want hell. So we serve Him because of that. Those should not be our motivators. And if that is what's motivating us to serve God, either heaven or hell, we've got a wrong focus. Because God is love. And we should learn to love Him and learn to understand who He is and serve Him out of that love. Ephesians 2, and I'd like for us to turn to that. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not of works, it's free. And there's a whole theology that goes with that. We can't earn our salvation. It's free. And so because it's free, we take it freely and we live the way we want to, and we continue to live the way we want to because it's free. And we continue to live in that free grace. Now, the Bible says it's free. And that's true. And I'm not minimizing that. It is free. And our salvation is not earned by works. Never. Never can we earn salvation by doing good things and by works. At the same time, it is about works. If we go to verse 10, it tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When God made the world, he had already also ordained the works that we should do. And he had already designed how humans should walk, and the things we should do and the things we should not do. He said, here it is. Even in the garden, he told them, you can eat of all the trees except this one. It was not works salvation, but their salvation did depend upon works. And there's a fine line there. And we can get caught up and hung up on either side of this, to where we say it's not about works and so we don't have to work. Or it's all about works and so we perform. Not a one of those is true. It is, salvation is free. And yet, because it is free, and because of Christ's love for us, and because of what he has done for us, it motivates us and so moves us to follow him in perfect love. And our desire is to work for him and to do his works, not because we have to, but because we truly want to, we truly enjoy doing those things. You know, every one of us longs for love and acceptance. At the same time, a lot of us have a problem loving because we don't know how to accept and how to give love freely. Religion is based on conditions. And there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who live under a conditional love. God's love is unconditional. He loved us while we were yet sinners. God's love does not change. God's love to us does not change. Even though we don't follow him. But because we are so many times, you know, what we understand of love is at this level here, in these relationships. And so a lot of times, because we are imperfect in our understanding of love and in our giving and in our ability to receive love, because of our preconceived ideas of what love is, then also that hinders us sometimes in our relationship with God and in truly receiving love from him. When we realize that God's love is unconditional, it will revolutionize how we live. And we will quit loving him for performance. We will perform because we love. The difference is so slight in the language. But the difference in our lives is absolutely light and dark. And if we love God, and if we serve him because of love, it's not because we're shamed into it, not because there's a God, a big God with a big stick going after us, telling us you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You know what? It is so freeing to want to love God. It is so freeing to want to do the things that God wants us to do. We don't have to. We want to. We get the privilege to follow God. And I understand those things. And I understand them better and better as I get to sit on my daddy's knee. As I get to understand my Father God's love for me. And the more I sit with him, and the more I commune with him, and the more I talk with him, and the more I understand his love for me, the more I love him. He tells me that he loves me. I soak up that love, and I allow that to penetrate who I am. A lot of times our relationship with God mirrors our relationship that we have had with our earthly fathers. You know, how many of you were held by your father? How many of you were comfortable just laying there, just being held in his arms? You know, I see a lot of girls in this world who were never held by their daddies.
Consequently, they are on the lookout for someone who will notice or love them. If you see a flirty girl, you can pretty much say, this is someone who is longing for true love. But many times, she will also not know what true love looks like. Many get attention because of lust. But they continue looking for love. They continue looking. They continue looking. And they continue longing for something that's true. For true love. By the way, there's a whole bunch of those girls that are now older, and their mommies and their grandmas, and they're still searching for love. They're still searching. And because women are a lot more in tune with their feelings, they realize that something is missing. Something isn't quite how it should be. But many of them, they've given up hope of truly ever finding true love. True love and deep emotional connection. The kind of love that is safe, that is snuggly, that is satisfying, that is close. Given up on that. All the while, God's love has not changed. And God continues to love. And God continues to be a father of love. Then there's a whole bunch of big, tough boys out there who were never held by their daddies. And some didn't come up to their mommy's expectations. Boys who have vowed over and over, I will not cry. I won't. I'm done. They keep looking for love in all and acceptance in all the wrong places. They get big cars, get involved in sports. Big trucks, hunting, fishing, girls, pornography, drugs, alcohol, the arts, music, photography, and the list goes on. And then some, like the older brother in the prodigal son's story, are really good. And they hide their pain with hard work and with ministry and service. Excuse me. If I have to perform a certain way to feel like I can even be loved, I believe the lie. If others have to perform to a certain level so that I can be okay with it, with them, I'm also believing the lie. Just recently, there's two instances that come to mind. As I was thinking about this message, I realized that there was this certain person that I was afraid of. That person, all that person would have to do is look at me. That was enough for me to just freeze right there. I was afraid of that look. And I realized that. And I realized that there was something there. Something that I was fearing. But see, perfect love casts out fear. And I had to get rid of that. I cried like I have rarely cried. Lord showed me that I was performing for that look, for that person. And I would do or not do according to what that person, how that person looked. It was interesting. When I realized that I was performing for that, and allowed the love of God to take that from me, it was gone. That person did not have to change anything in their life for me to be different. That person did not have to change so that I could be free. What I did have to realize is that perfect love casts out fear. And as I recognized that, and as I allowed the Lord to take that fear away, and to allow Him to love me, and allow Him to do that in my life, totally changed. There's another hurting person I've dealt some with over the years. And not too long ago, I told a brother who is dealing with that person currently. I said, "Brother, be careful. Let me just tell you something. I want you to understand that you will probably come to a point in your relationship with that person where all of a sudden you are no longer in good standing with that person. And you will no longer be able to relate correctly to that person." And it wasn't more than about a month after I told him that, and he calls me up very distraught, and he says, "This person has a problem relating to her daughter, and this person is so smart, and she's so good at supposedly seeing everything, but she has a real hard time doing relationships." And then after she sucks you dry in the relationship, she moves on to another relationship. And of course, it's always your problem. It's always your problem. Interestingly enough, she wants to be a counselor to help other hurting people. A person who has yet to understand fully the love of the Father. A person who has yet to learn what it is to allow God to transform our lives to where it takes our fears away. A lot of the times when we are controlling, and if you see somebody who is controlling, and if you recognize that you are controlling, go back and check your relationship with you and your Father God. Most often I found fear there. How do you help people like that? If this were your situation, what would you do with it? How would you try to help in this situation? For myself, I have found especially three things that it generally comes down to. Generally comes down to forgiveness, repentance, and acceptance. The world talks to you about how you need to go to the person who did the wrong to you and voice it to them and tell them how bad they were and what they needed to do and how hurt you were. But that's not God's way. Yes, we need to recognize it, and we need to understand it. Like for myself, I needed to recognize that I feared that look. The reality is that that is not, after I get rid of my pain and I get rid of my hurts and my fears, the other person could potentially continue to live the same way. And sure, in one way or another, it might hurt, depending on the relationship. But that doesn't mean that the love of God cannot fill my heart in a way to where that is not the pain that I carry. Now I'd like for us to turn back again to 1 John. And I want to read this again. And I want us to recognize and realize that this was someone who was comfortable with laying up against Jesus. And we see that at the Last Supper. John was there leaning up against Jesus. He was really close. And you know, we tend to think of, you know, the apostles and like that as, I don't know, at least I tend to, you know, put them into their, I have my ideas of how they were and like that. And yet as I look at that picture, I see John as a touchy, loving man. And he was just sort of snuggled up with Jesus there that evening. And this same John was the one who wrote this. How would I write this? How would I feel? Could I write this about my relationship with Jesus? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Does God hold you? Is God a tender, loving father to you? Is he caring? Do you love him? I'm so glad that God loves us. And he continues to pour out his love to us. But as we love him, and as we respond to his love, that love will become greater and greater in our lives. And we will love more, and we will receive more, and we will love more, and we will receive more. And it'll continue going. When we realize that God loves us, it's going to be a natural. Our love for him and our serving him is going to be a natural expression. And I think of the story of this lady. She was married and not sure if it was before they got married or soon after they got married. Her husband made her a list of the things she was supposed to do. She was supposed to clean the house this way, and she was supposed to do this, and she was supposed to do the next thing, and she was supposed to do the next thing. And sometimes it was just a bit hard to measure up to what all her husband wanted her to do. Just a little bit hard. Her husband died. Sometime after that, she remarried. And one day she was up in her attic, looking through stuff she had in the attic. And here she found the list. And she read over the list of what her other husband had wanted her to do. And as she read over that list, she realized she was doing all of these things and more for her new husband. He didn't even force her to do those things. And yet she was doing them. And she felt she did it willingly. And she felt so fulfilled in doing these things for her husband. He loved her. She loved him back. She did those things not because she had to, but because she loved him. Same way with us. Do we serve God because we have to? Or do we serve God because we love him? Let's kneel in prayer. Eternal Father, again this morning, Lord, we bow here. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we are unworthy servants. We owe everything that we have to you. You've given us all. And so, we give ourselves back to you because you love us. And Father, I desire that each of us would love you in such a way that it would transform and change the way we walk each day. Not because we fear you, not because we have to, but because we love you. Thank you, Father. And I just pray for each one of us here this morning. Lord, if there's any hurting heart, if there's anyone here who has been serving you because they have to, there's anyone here who is struggling with feeling your love in their lives, Father, I pray, make it real to them and help them to recognize your great love for each one of us. Father, again, we thank you and we praise you for all. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The devil